Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm fully aware people look at me and probably think I'm insane.
Do you think you're sane?
Yeah.
Johnny.
Oh, Johnny's.
Trigger's broom.
I love this shit.
Ready?
Yeah.
Right. Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Bob Shoy. Adam Tiss.
Yo.
Beef.
Yo.
You're right, guys.
I was just copying Tiss.
Jeez.
I'm easily led.
And yeah.
Tiss did that.
It's a discussion episode. Just going to get that out there straight away. So if you don't like them, see you later. If you do, it's aggressive already. Like, fuck you guys. I told you we're going fortnightly. If you don't like it, fuck off. So you might have heard in the background sniggering. We've got an extra guest, as we always do on the discussion episodes. We have Charlie.
Hello.
And today we're talking about, what's the theme?
Sanity.
Virtual sanity. Or real life, whatever. I don't know what your questions are. Well, there you
go. That's been in my head.
I got the intro music.
That's been in my head all day.
Cool. Outro music.
Been humming it around the house, yeah.
Outro music.
Yeah. Sound sorted. I love
it's
it.
Good
like
song.
Two and a half minutes in, already got the outro music.
I saw Jamiroquai in Acosta.
Did you?
He's tall and he had a chocolate muffin.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is like the Queen story all over again. But
it's yeah. Well, it's better than the Queen.
Better.
Like there was a bit of rapport. I sort of
did. You run up and smack the muffin out of his hand?
No.
Who's this?
No. Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai today.
No, a few years ago.
Did you remember today or
what? He bought a muffin.
Did he have a hat on?
He had a hat on.
Did he?
A big hat.
It was a big purple hat.
Was it filled with muffins?
Did he have a muffin top?
Was he a muffin and the muffin was eating him?
He had a purple hat on and then like a black trench coat.
I was eating Jamiroquai.
Yeah. He got really annoying because he didn't want to spend too much time. He didn't want to be talking to people.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be seen in public.
He just wanted his muffin. Right, so anyway. new listeners, if you haven't heard one of these style shows before, what we do is we're supposed to do one every 10 episodes, but that doesn't happen because it's like our fourth or fifth,
and we're on episode 82.
Supposed to,
laid
down by
I know, rules.
When we did the first one, episode 10 was like, every 10 episodes you're going to get this.
Yeah. But then we realised how hard work it is.
Well, they're easier than long ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we normally do is we set the topic, we all go away, we don't discuss it with each other. We come back for the show with our questions on the topic.
This is what should happen.
Yeah. Okay, this is what should
what
happen. This is what
is
the plan is.
I was tucking into my dinner about an hour ago and just like, shit, what can I say?
We rope a guest in who doesn't have to bring any questions. They just get to like opine along with us.
I don't have any.
Sorry, you didn't have any homework, Charlie.
And we chuck our questions out till we sort of go, we've had enough now.
Yeah.
And that's it. And today's Sunny.
You always make our episodes sound well structured.
Yeah.
And are they? Are they that structured?
Yeah, they're fine.
Good.
Yeah. Mate, we're up for an award.
Come together.
Yeah, you don't just get awards handed out. You have to be nominated.
Will we have an award handed out? Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, Sanity. Anyone want to say anything about it before we rack into questions?
I've been looking forward to this.
Have you?
So much that I didn't research it until about an hour ago. But I have been looking forward to it. No, I look forward to all our discussion shows because it's... you know, sometimes it gets a bit, you know, a bit boring with just the three of us. It's nice to get an extra one in. And
thanks.
An extra one. And no, I'll be looking forward to it.
Okay.
It's like a big, beefy episode.
A big new episode.
I'm looking forward to some full moon stories, if I'm honest.
Do you have full moon stories?
I don't have full moon stories. Oh, actually, no, I do have a full moon story.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I do have a full moon story.
Do you want to save that for the end?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Do it right at the end. We'll chuck it in.
I hope that you validated that. Like,
it's not. I'm not gonna. Don't get your hopes up. It's not brilliant.
I'm gonna get my hopes up. It's gonna be good.
Okay.
Think about one.
You're gonna be let down.
It's just gonna be like.
It's gonna be a big letdown.
It's just gonna be like, yeah, it gets a bit crazy on full moons.
Gets a bit mad. Anyway.
See you later.
No one really knows why.
The moon's really full.
Until next time.
There's no correlations.
Great. So end the show on that. Until next time. See you later. All
right.
So,
let's
do we just want to crack on with a question? Who wants? So you haven't got any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have.
I have, but it's not very good.
Bob has the most questions.
Well, don't be yourself down.
No one get your hopes up about anything tonight.
I've got some questions which are all right. You're saying they reckon they're good, mate.
All right. So we should say before we get into questions.
Go on.
One of the reasons we thought it'd be quite cool to have Charlie on this episode, and we actually tried to get Charlie on the show a long time ago. This is like a long time in the making.
A year ago.
No commitment.
Did you move in house last time?
I was.
Yeah.
How's that worked out for you?
It's worked out really well, thanks.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Happy I did that instead of, no offence, I mean.
Yeah, what could have happened?
It's fine. Well, we're still running.
I'm not homeless.
You could have missed a chance. If the pod went under until before now, you could have.
Imagine.
Or we could have gone massive, and our guest would have been.
Yeah, we would have got Dwayne the Rock Johnson on.
Your guest might not have been Charlie, who you used to know.
I was talking about this with Rebecca last night. I would fucking love to have Dwayne the Rock Johnson on the show. Can you imagine chatting about ghosts for an hour with Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
No. He'd be plugging this film, wouldn't he?
Nah.
That's Vin Diesel, mate.
I want Vin. I actually want Vin.
Vin's cool.
Dwayne's. No, they're both pretty cool guys.
Wow. What's wrong with
Dwayne's a bit, I don't know. I watched
a film on the plane with Dwayne in it with, what's his name? The short black comedian. Kevin Hart was also on it.
Yeah.
And he played
I saw this, yeah.
It was terrible, but all right on a plane.
What was it?
I think it was cool.
That review. Terrible, but all right on a plane.
There's nothing else to do.
I think it was just called.
Fucking. It's when you're on a plane, entire life. Put it back on the plane.
What was the?
It's called CIA or something, isn't it?
Something
is it Central Intelligence something.
I've never heard of this film.
And it's only on planes.
It's on the cinema.
School reunion, and he goes to see this guy, and he's all like, he used to be like bullied at school.
He was really fat, and he had pants. He got pants in a gym auditorium.
That's it.
Dwayne?
Yeah,
Dwayne. Oh, he was really fat.
He's the one doing the pants.
And then he comes back, but he's like,
yeah, basically,
he wears like a My Little Pony t-shirt.
Central Intelligence 6.3 or 9.
That's quite generous.
I give it a 2.2.
I give it a third of that. That's outrageous.
50 teams and Metascore.
Nah.
1 win and 6 nominations.
Nah. He's not seen it.
Nominations.
Only on fame.
For what?
That, on poem,
that makes
guys.
Me feel less special for getting nominated.
Best plane film.
Best it's alright on a plane film.
Are we up against CIA in the podcast?
Teen choice, people's choice, kids' choice.
Anyway, I actually went way off on a tangent because I was about to say why it was good to have Charlie on the show about 10 minutes ago.
Well, that's what I said. We should introduce Charlie a bit.
Yeah, okay, right, okay. So, Charlie, why is it good to have you on the show?
I've got a bit of experience with sanity or insanity, however you really think about it. I'm a nurse.
Oh, I thought it was going to be more. I thought it was going to be like, I'm recently out of an asylum.
It was insane.
Yeah, discharged. I'm a nurse. I've been a student in a psychiatric hospital in the past. And in my current workplace, I deal with mental health problems. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's cheery. Cool.
Mental health doesn't mean not cheery.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's quite not cheery, but it's fine.
Oh, but honestly, it is.
Yeah, it's really, really, really.
It's really strange, actually, because is it Prince William?
He's like, yeah, that was like today.
Today, said that it's okay to be. You know,
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
He came and
thanks.
And thanks.
Yeah, fucking late, wasn't
it?
That wasn't quite what he said because I got angry and then I read it. Basically, what's happened is he had counselling.
Yeah.
Because his mum died.
So when
he had it like 20 years late. Basically, yeah. Prince William was like, mate, you need to
Yeah,
tell
sort
people.
It out. Sort your head out.
He was just saying, like, young men shouldn't be worried about seeing someone for mental health issues.
Which
it's
is
not
good.
A big deal. Well, that's yeah, but
that's
to me, good. I'm like, duh.
But
yeah,
also, they're making it. They're making it abnormal. Do you know what I mean? They need to normalise it a bit more. Okay, it's good that they're saying, you know, go and get help and whatever, but making it a massive thing just because he said it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, to me, I was just like,
we knew that already.
Yeah, like, to be honest, like, you should know that already.
Yeah.
This isn't one of my questions, but do you feel like there is a stigma around mental health?
Definitely.
Big
I don't know. I didn't think there was. But then hearing that today actually made me think there was.
Yeah, and it's a massive
thing.
It's
on the opposite to me.
So, like, if someone said, so this is an example from a conversation I was having with someone the other day. And we were saying, if you broke your leg, you would go into work or you would speak to your friends, you'd say, oh, I've broken my leg. Why would you not go into work and say, actually, I've got really bad depression and I'm really suffering? But you wouldn't do it, would you? You kind of keep it more contained within trusted people. Whereas, do you know what I mean? Physical health problems
seem to be more
like, well,
in some, it's this country more so. Like, some countries, they're way more open about it.
Yeah.
In some countries, it's like, I've got some issues going on.
Yeah.
And they're like, they'll get you.
Like America, they love therapy.
Yeah, well,
like,
they're like addicted to therapy. Places like Denmark and stuff. Actually, Denmark's a good example. Denmark, if you say, I've got some issues going on mentally, they'll get you an appointment that day
to see
someone.
And that should happen, because I think there's a massive risk with mental health that people kind of slip through the net a lot of the time. So people get lost in the system a lot.
I think it is getting there, though. I always think with these things there is stigma, but it's fast improving. You guys know where I work in a school which deals with children that have got additional needs, and a lot of the time mental health comes into that, and people get referred all the time to CAMHS, which is, they deal specifically with young people. But Rachel, again, works in a school, and they've got a counsellor that works at the school all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just he's employed, and they have people they refer to be, you know, go and have an appointment, and they won't go because they feel there's like, oh no. But then in our school, because it's just a normal, you know.
But would you in school go and see a counsellor?
Well, it's different. That was,
you wouldn't, because everyone would be like,
we had that.
Yeah, but then 12 years ago, I think that was a thing.
You can't even go for a shit in school without everyone being like,
no,
he's going for a shit. Oh, he needs a shit.
Why are you?
He's a fucking shitter. They're like, yeah, I need a shit. Like, I've got a bad tummy.
Yeah.
God, my mom doesn't have medication to give.
I've got a bad tummy.
Yeah, that would get you beat up. I've got a bad tummy.
I've got a bad tummy, yeah.
I've got a bad tummy would get you beat up. You get your head kicked in. I got a ticky tummy. People from other countries where, like, people are normal, this is what it's like in England. Like, you need
Don't
a poo in
school
and someone will kick your fucking head in because you needed a poo.
Yeah.
And so then
it all leads on to,
so then you're definitely not going to go
to counsellor.
And I like to think our school wasn't quite as bad as some.
No,
like,
I think our school was.
Schools, I hear terrible stories. Ours is like a little village.
I was walking across the playground one time to go to the toilet, and a load of people let out a six-hole log. Was like, "Ah, he's going for a shit."
This has scarred you. Like,
yeah, and I was
really
just like, "Yeah, I've got a bad tummy." Like, I was just like, "Yeah, I am." Like, leave me in peace for 10 minutes.
Did you then go to, like, one block, but then quickly go to another so they knew, didn't know which block you were going to?
No, I just went. I needed to go.
I would have snuck to, like.
That's what I mean. You shouldn't have to make a plan to sit on the fucking bog, should you?
It's like everyone shits.
But then.
I was just about to bring up.
You know, really little, sort of quiet, shy guy.
Okay.
And he went for a shit in the sixth form block.
Yeah.
And then someone kicked the door in when he was on the shit and took a photo with him.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was year 12 as well, wasn't it?
Was it really?
Yeah, it was year
12. Was it you, Bob?
No, because
how do you know
just,
about this?
Because I was just like, leave him alone. Like, one, it's
you were in the cubicle next
to
me.
Come and kick my door in.
Trying to read the paper.
Reinforcing the door.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
So, yeah, my point is, people are scared to go for poo in school. They're not going to go and say, like,
people.
I've got mental health issues.
Mental health, though.
Yeah.
People.
But then why is it that mental health, is it because you can't see it?
But I'll be honest, even when you go to a shop, if you're just buying toilet roll,
Yeah.
Do you buy a little
Do you grab something else? Yeah, I grab a pack of condoms
as
well.
It's not just like, you just need a shit.
I grab some, like, something completely random.
I grab some,
like,
condoms and Tampax.
Some sausage rolls, like, keep guessing.
Up it a little bit.
What am I doing tonight?
Well, you, like, you, there is a real, there is something about British culture which just, like,
see, I feel like Americans
can't get it.
Why can't they buy a bog roll?
Well, well, in, sorry, in America,
not that Americans would call it bog roll.
Looping.
No, it's, well, they're just, I think we're not comfortable in our own skin in this country,
no.
And that's why people, like, I can't even go into, like, buy some Johnny's without.
Yeah. Without,
like,
them calling
also
over the tannoy last time you went
oh,
in.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Did they actually do that?
Can we have a price check on these ultra-sensitive Johnnies?
Well, this will get cut out.
No way.
But no, I went in to buy some Johnnies and...
Johnny, that's what they said on the tannoy as well. Price check on some Johnnies.
Well, yeah. Well, it was... Yeah, I don't know.
It must have been a while ago.
I think it was like
it would have been
two
before
packs
you
of like 30 for 15 quid. I was like, that's
deal.
A good deal.
Yeah.
Deal, right? So
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to buy them.
Keep
them.
Going
so
for
I put
a while.
Them in my
yeah.
basket and then hid them under a paper, which
under
I was never going to read.
Toilet paper?
No, newspaper and and some apples.
And prawn mayo sandwich.
Yeah, no, just took them to the front and the guy wasn't having it. He was like, no, we don't, that's not the deal anymore. I said, well, it's advertised, so can I not? And he wasn't having it. I was like, oh, it's okay, don't worry, I'll just buy them. I was like, God, to buy this time.
Don't
like,
make a fuss.
People was like, it's fine, I'll just buy
whatever
them.
Whatever you do not get on the panel about it.
Yeah. Well, they then took me down to customer services, which in Morrison's is all the way down the other end of the store.
Oh, my God.
And she was, like, holding them, like, under her arm, and she sort of dropped them on the floor. So then it looked as if I was...
Pack open.
I was like, oh... Yeah, it's awful.
Like,
but why is it embarrassing? Why is it embarrassing to buy condoms?
Yeah.
I mean, as if, like, in my
well
head...
Well done, safe sex.
Yeah, this was only like a few years ago. In my head, I was thinking I was going to get a bunch of, like, people that... I don't know. It is that stigma. You've got this feeling and you're like,
I know what,
like,
you mean.
We're just embarrassing
about
everything.
I know, like, if like, Jamie and then are going to come around the corner like, he's going to have sex.
If you go into, like, Boots or something and pick up a pack of condoms... Okay, so I'm holding some condoms, I'm in Boots, and I'm looking who's at the till... Because I'm like, who's going to be less embarrassing to serve me right now?
There's someone that looks
why
like my mum.
I know, and they sell it in
and
the
And I'm
shop.
Not
it's
someone who really is
it.
Bothered by that sort of thing, but even me will be like...
You feel a little bit embarrassed.
It is embarrassing, and you've got to look, you've like, do I go for someone that
and they're like,
is a
just
bit like my mum?
Like, yes, please.
Or
just
someone
those.
That's a bit like my nan,
yeah,
or that really hot girl. Like, none of them.
No, not ideal.
Yeah.
Like, what's the attractive girl going to do? Like, oh, buying some condoms, eh? Yep.
No, but it's just, it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing thing.
Putting them on later.
Cool. Good for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll be making it.
I would be trying, but I would always try and really not embarrass the person. If I was blind, I'd just be like,
just
kind of
do
one.
It naturally.
Enjoy
like,
then.
Yeah.
A lot of people just
that make it worse.
Like nothing, don't they?
They got
it's best just to say nothing.
What instead of what?
Johnny.
Oh, Johnny's.
Just nervous. They're just them more nervous.
Someone's lost their virginity.
No.
But you, I think it.
Big night.
It does come down to, like, people not feeling comfortable in their own bodies and feeling like they're always being looked at and judged.
And
you know, even down to the point when you go into school and you've got a haircut. And it was like, haircut?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
is that
God,
petty,
yes,
isn't
I don't
it?
Want my hair to be really long. I had a haircut.
Another good example, actually. Fine. Then we're going back on the set.
Now we've done, like, poo, sex,
haircuts.
When you go to Iceland and you tell people they have to strip off naked in the Blue Lagoon showers.
Yeah.
That turns out.
Well, you freaked out when I told you that.
Yeah, I did.
See, that thought
what,
we didn't,
so,
that didn't
but then when I got
me.
That, I was just like, this is fucking great.
I was like, yeah, take your clothes off and that. I was just real casual. Because I was like, of course
before.
You do. You're
see,
at a spa.
Like,
yeah.
And you were like, what?
Yeah.
I am not going to the Blue Lagoon. I was like, you're fucking in Iceland. Of course you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the unknown, isn't it? But now I'm just like, yeah, cool. But I'm with them. But you can always tell the English in the changing rooms.
Little willies.
Straight away.
Mm.
No.
Having towels around,
yeah,
they wrap towels around themselves,
yeah, yeah.
And they do that thing where they
hide
underneath the towel while they're getting undressed. Yeah,
yeah.
Classic British.
Yeah.
Anyway, mental health.
Right.
Let's
back
stigma. There's a stigma,
all
just
very,
like
yeah, good enough.
There is,
yeah.
But I feel like it's getting better. I really do. I feel like
it's getting better.
But yeah.
Not good enough.
And how long?
No, but these
not...
things do take time. You know, we've gone from, like, in the Victorian times, people were in zoos if they were mentally ill. That was only 100 years ago, which in the grand scheme of human history is really small. So it's getting there. It's going to take time before it's completely normal and it's, you know...
Put in zoos.
Yeah,
for being mentally ill.
Yeah, the Victorians, it was like, that's what sideshows were to begin
with.
Yeah,
that's like if you look weird, though.
Not necessarily. It was if you behaved weird. So this
what
was
it like?
What
boring too? Like, this guy's depressed.
This guy's got anxiety. He won't move for the next 10 hours.
They all come. Probably why they died out. Because no business.
Yeah. No, it was. I like autistic people as well.
Yeah.
People who weren't verbal.
But anyone with learning disabilities or mental health problems, they were locked
up. They were in zoos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But I would say everyone, or majority of people, at some point in their life, will go through some sort of mental health issue.
Yeah.
Whether they realise it or not.
Yeah.
So why is it so...
Well, it's because you don't really understand it, do you? You know,
it's so complex.
Yeah, I've had... So both my parents... My dad had a breakdown years ago, and my mum has been suffering with depression for years, and both of them behave completely differently. Mm-hmm. My dad just kind of, like, shut down, and there was, like, no emotion, nothing. And my mum is just... My mum's just up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if she... Like, the smallest thing could... she could do, like, the smallest thing, and she gets really anxious about it. You know, like, we were supposed to go around today and pick up some stuff for the baby. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, my Milton Keynes, I completely forgot. And, like, that was the end of... So I know I have to say a certain thing a certain way. But it's... Yeah, so I guess you kind of... But it's still taken me all this time to understand... depression. It takes a long time to try and get your head around.
It's very hard to it's hard to explain it to someone else who's not going through it. Like, full disclosure now, I've spoken to you guys about this. I'm going through, like, a bit of a tough time at the moment. I don't mind talking about it on the show. But to me, it wasn't a stigma. Like, I went to a doctor, he gave me some pills. I'm not taking them.
I refuse.
Yeah. So I'm not completely over the stigma.
Professional was telling me what to do.
No, but do you know what I mean? It's to me, it's not a stigma, but it's hard to explain. When someone, like Becca's not had an issue with that sort of thing before, so living with her and I'm trying to explain, I'm just like, but I am up and down. That is, like, the issue at the moment. It's not a choice.
Mm.
Like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. You know? I think it depends on your environment, you know. Mm. So I go to church and I spend a lot of time with people who you do naturally become close to them. You know, I've got people who I would, you know, good friends with, and so you do end up talking about this kind of stuff quite a lot, so it's really normal for me for that to just be part of conversation if people are really struggling with stuff. So there really shouldn't be, and I feel like it's changed me quite a lot, because so we were at this antenatal class today, and the woman who was leading it, she was talking to the guys. She was like, right, do you guys feel a bit, like, do you feel a bit scared? Do you feel like it's a bit unknown? Do you feel fearful at all? And no one said anything for what felt like forever. It was probably only, like, 20 seconds.
Mm.
But when no one says anything, you're just like... and I was like, yeah, I'm terrified. There are certain things, like, terrified of cot death. Mm. That terrifies me. And it's, like, all of a sudden, all the guys were like, oh, yeah, no, that is... And it was like, so you just feel... Just break the ice, just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal?
It's
really...
Like, allowing
so
other
what?
People to talk about
I'm it. Not infallible. I have things that worry me and make me anxious. Like, just talk about it. So I think if people are just honest, just be honest with each other. There's no... Why do we have to be so worried about having weaknesses? Like, whatever. It's just... It's weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a problem, but it is.
And do you think it's because also... So mental health things like anxiety and depression, and you can't control it. So, like I say, physical health problems, you can almost always fix it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas mental health, there's not always an answer, is there? Do you know what I mean?
No.
And because everyone is different.
Yeah.
Everyone's experiencing it different because everyone's brain is different.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the brain, we come back to the brain again and again on the show, it's such an unknowable, unexplainable thing.
Mm.
That's why everyone is different. It's just going to be a different solution for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, one thing that we tend to be good at is making fun of ourselves a little bit, and just so we should be able to do that more often. You know, we were laughing the other night. I was talking about how when I'm in a shop, if it's really busy, if I feel like people are looking at what I'm looking at in the shop over my shoulder, like Johnny's.
Yeah, deciding which condoms you're going to get.
but like, when I turn around, there's no one there.
Staring at them condoms for 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's like, who are you going to buy them? I was like, this is weird. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, everyone has certain things that make them, I know being anxious and having anxiety is two completely separate things, but it's, people just won't admit that that's, there's an issue, which is which is crazy.
In itself.
It really, yeah, it is.
But it's weird for us to say, people won't admit, but then all four of us sitting around this table are very much like, yeah. So who are these people that won't admit?
I think it's just it.
Or is it having like a safe place to admit it? As in like, you wouldn't just, I don't know, people don't just wander around saying, oh, I've got depression, or...
Yeah.
I do think it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Like when I was in the States at Christmas,
say it
you
openly,
get,
people
they
know,
just, like, so Rachel's friend was talking about, we were talking about coffee or something. We were in a coffee shop and, like, her husband was like, oh, I can't have coffee after this time because I get really, like... Yeah, like you said, he had like digestional stuff, and then like a few others, like, yeah, I get that, like, yeah. And it's like, oh, this is weird. And it happened all the time. People would sort of just like, it was just, yeah, people so open about it. Yeah.
Whereas in England, it's like, oh, I got heartburn.
So if there's a stigma about it, break it down. And it shouldn't be.
Also, I want to say, like, a lot of our listeners have contacted us and said, you know, like, it is little things that get people through depression, anxiety, whatever. And anyone who's ever emailed us to say, you know, listening to the show is makes them smile when they're down, lifts their spirits when they're at low points, and that as someone who's like dealt with anxiety, depression and stuff like that, that means the world to me. They're like, something I'm doing like absolute nonsense here can like lift someone's spirits. Because it does me, like, recording the show will lift my spirits. I had, like, a really shitty day today, but I feel good now because I'm sitting there having a cup of tea and going to have a beer in a minute, and we're chatting about mental health. So.
Yeah, nice and cheery.
So cheery. It really took my mind off my mental health issues.
But, even in you saying that, there's already a stigma to it. Like, oh, I'm talking about mental health, and everyone goes,
yeah.
That sounds awkward. Horrible.
Yeah. Why does it have to be, like, a cheerless subject? Is that...
Yeah,
because it's pretty shitty, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess it is because I think it's because it's not easily fixed.
Yeah,
you know, even if you broke every bone in your body, like pretty much all of them are fixed.
This is what I mean. Yeah, so like,
even your ribs, which can take time, but they will fix.
Yeah,
exactly. You break your leg. Well, I put it in a cast, it's going to fix.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling really shitty, and it isn't just like feel shitty, like it's a depression shitty, you're in a hole. You can be sitting there thinking, I just want to be better. And I don't know how to be. Mm. And I don't know if I'll ever be again.
And it's like, if they're not seeing out of, you know, I speak to a lot of people who can't see any way out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm trying to explain to them as well that physically in their brain, there is an imbalance of chemicals, which is why they're feeling like that.
Yeah.
It's not just a bad day. Or,
even
you know,
if you know that, like I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm still sitting here on some days.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm on a fucking
counseling.
Identical day. But I can be like, I know it's my brain stopping me, making me feel trapped. But at the same time, like, doesn't change the fact that I feel completely trapped.
Because your happy hormone is depleted.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I have claustrophobia anyway. So that feeling trapped mentally makes me feel trapped physically. Yeah. So that really, like, that's the word. I really am having a fucking... I'm having a counseling session. Yeah. Anyway, someone chuck in a question.
It's good. Tiss, you got a...
Is mental health on the rise?
On the rise?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
And I think because there's a massive increase in like all this legal high stuff that's coming out that's recently been made illegal. And we're seeing loads of like after effects from that at the moment. And there's, we don't know what this stuff is. We don't know what is in it.
Mm.
No idea. But we're getting a lot of people come to us with like drug-induced psychosis and that kind of stuff. Mm. And actually... we don't know why. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the rise in like in things like legal highs. Yeah,
just just in legal highs or...
I think so, yeah. Because I think, weirdly, like I always say, if someone's... it's like really different subject, but if someone's overdosing on heroin, you can fix it.
Yeah.
If someone's taking a legal high, no clue. Literally no clue.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because those drugs have natural properties. Which have studied for years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. Mm. We don't know what's in legal highs at all.
Yeah.
No one knows.
But it's legal, isn't it? So it's not an issue. That's the stupid viewpoint.
Yeah.
I'm doing stupid viewpoint. That's not my viewpoint.
Yeah.
I think it depends. I think our awareness of mental health has increased. So therefore, people and I'm not saying that there aren't lots of people with mental health, because there are. But I sometimes think people look at the symptoms and think, oh yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
I have that. And so then automatically trying to get
a bit of that.
I do think it's a little bit of that. I'm not saying it's not increasing, because I think it probably is. But I think in education, I think it has a lot. I think Not just in students, but Rachel told me yesterday that there's something like 80% of newly qualified teachers within like 2 years of teaching sacked it off, and they're not just any other job. I'll go and work in Tesco's, just anything, because they can't. It's too stressful. You know, like one of Rachel's colleagues is, you know, she said she's leaving, you know, and Rachel was like, she's a brilliant teacher, it's a real shame, she's really really good, but she's like, I sit there till 10 o'clock at night working. I'm like, what is the point? This isn't worth it.
There's no personal life. There's no life.
Yeah, and she, obviously, so she hasn't got mental health problems, but I've definitely seen a lot of it in education. It's everywhere.
I think also the world is a real scary place now. It's chaotic. And I think something like anxiety is really risen because of that, because not just the political climate and everything. We've talked about politics enough on this show. Like,
should talk a bit about Trump.
Just drop it. But Trump ban's back on now, right?
I'm not talking about him anyway.
His dick anyway. Trump ban's now.
But is it worse?
What I was going to say. My point was that I think not just the political climate, but more like the interconnectedness that we talked about before with the internet and everything. I think it, in terms of mental health, it makes things worse.
I think it depends.
Things like bullying for children. Being bullied at school is fucking awful.
Yeah,
I never went through that, so I'm lucky in that way.
Yeah,
but I can imagine it's terrible.
Yeah, but then you've got all these kids saying about cyberbullying now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can't even get away from it when you get home.
And if you fuck up and someone films it,
Yeah,
it's game over.
Yeah, yeah. that's another thing, isn't it?
Fucking game over.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and just the thought of that would stress me out.
Yeah,
I hadn't even done anything, but the thought of like if someone catches me do one thing.
Like I saw a video for like this band. They were, you know, they went great. But if they just played like probably like us, you know, they just played and no one filmed them, it'd be like. But someone filmed them and then put like a stupid caption underneath, and it just blows up because it's like, oh, these guys think they're the like.
And people laugh. But they, I feel like all these videos that people put online, everyone laughs at and comments, "What a bunch of cunts," whatever.
If you
really take that video and watch it seriously, like,
why?
Why? Yeah, what are they doing? They're just like having a laugh.
They're just doing.
You're just going along because everyone else is doing it. You feel like, oh, someone put that stupid like white writing at the bottom of it, so it must be fucking. Look at these dickheads.
But what a horrible thing to like to share something. By insulting someone.
But don't you think that's
what's the point?
It makes everyone feel better though, because like, look at these idiots. I'm not like that.
Yeah.
Safety don't you think in numbers. That... Like, if we all called that group of people shitheads, then we're not that. We're all
safe.
I
do think though that social media is, you know, it's only been around in the form it is now for like 10 years or something, right? 10 years ish. I think it's one of these evolutionary aspects of our species where eventually people will just. You know, you learn, don't you, what is harmful, and you learn what's good, and you take the good and you move on. And so Rachel and I, one of the guys in our youth group, has had depression issues, so started an Instagram account where he would just hey, let's make this a bit more public than it, you know, because it should be more public. It shouldn't be something we're ashamed of. And within like 6 months, he had like 120,000 followers on Instagram. And people messaging him and saying,
I thought you were going to say people.
No. People.
That's sorry.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, this is going to be good or bad.
No, it's great. It's really good. No, people messaging him all the time and saying, thanks for doing this. I need to just talk to someone about it. I don't really know what the solution is.
Yeah.
So, which is great. But again, that social media at its very best. When it is at its best, it's amazing.
I feel like it's quite rare to be a good thing. I hate social media.
Yeah, I think it's a problem, isn't it? But cyberbullying is...
I'm so glad social media wasn't around when I was a kid. Because I would have been a right dickhead on it. I really would have. I was such a dick as a teenager.
But also, like you say, like people recording you do everything and then sharing it around the world. And it's where does it stop?
Oh, the things I would have put on there.
I think a lot of the time though, it does come to a point where it does just stop, because it's not just that kids will end up in a head teacher's office and like, you know, detention for a week. You know, it's the police can get involved.
This is prison, people going to prison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So all it takes normally is for you to, like, I've been in with, you know, the heads called me. It's like, can you just come in and sit on this meeting? And I've had a kid and he's like, this guy lost his job. Was, you know, being scouted to play for Arsenal. He's been banned from that now. He can't have that career. and he was physically taken aback. I could see he was like, God, is that how bad it can be? Like, yeah, this is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it.
But the internet, it's the Wild West. Like, you can't police it because everyone goes, oh, but freedom of speech. The internet's the place where it's like complete freedom.
Yeah.
But people, if they're not policed, it's like a police state is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't want anarchy. But
then the Wild West is a bad thing. That's why it doesn't exist anymore.
Dog eat dog.
Yeah, so it's
I think
like...
it still exists. I just don't think we realise.
Well, it does. It's called the internet.
It changed.
But also, there's another interesting thing about like dopamine levels when we have so much stimulation around. Does that affect?
Wait, it's. Don't worry. I was gonna say it's the wild, wild web.
The wild, wild web.
Yeah. Carry on.
So much dopamine stimulation is that causing spikes and then big troughs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't
instant gratification.
You'd normally feel just normal, but because you felt so up, you then feel so down.
Yeah. Me and you actually spoke about this a little while ago, not on the show. And we're saying now, like, people's emotions are so fucked, like younger people, I think, because if they've got their phones on the internet, any emotion they want, they can have at the touch of a button. I want to feel horny, you know, type something in. I want to laugh, type something in. I want to feel sad, type something in. Any emotion, they can literally type something to have that emotion. And that is fucking terrifying.
Horrible.
And it's like instant emotion, so they're not actually having the real emotions.
So, like, you see these young people look staring at their phone and their face is blank.
Yeah, and they're typing, like, crying, laughing. Yeah.
Yeah. LMAO.
Can't breathe, lol, lol, lol. Like, and
their
like...
face is, like, blank.
Yeah. I think the other problem is the...
A row of those, like, crying emojis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's stupid.
It's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah.
But the other problem is that people can hide behind things.
How often do you actually cry laughing?
Because
I feel like people tie it. People
and,
tie
like,
it
laugh
crying laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say like 10 times a day, like young people. Yeah. Crying laughing. You're not. You're not crying laughing 10 times a day.
That's their language, isn't it?
You've got no liquid in your body.
That's inferring.
You'd be dehydrated.
That's their language, isn't it?
I don't understand.
That's just inferring.
We used to do that.
I was
going to
start putting like quite funny. It was all right.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nearly laugh.
Yeah. If you did that, I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Well, you think we used to join MSN, didn't we?
Yeah.
Then you used to like dress stuff up.
LOL is different to like.
I never did.
Yeah, but then the thing is, it always takes you further. Everything is the most extreme. Like, lol isn't enough anymore. Has to be can't breathe.
Yeah.
Everything is like the fucking best. Louis C.K. has a stand-up thing about it where he's like, people use, they go straight for like the most extreme words. Like, that was like, everything, everyone's a fucking legend. Everything is like the best thing you've ever
that
seen.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then these words are used for things that are just really. Plain.
We've lost all the smaller words.
Yeah. Like, cool. I say cool quite a lot. Means nothing now.
Cool.
Yeah. Or like, okay. I say okay.
Well, maybe those words are linked to dopamine. You get a dopamine rush.
Yeah, you need the extremes. Everyone needs extremes. Yeah. And then they have extreme lows.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've ranted about the internet so many times on this show. I'm like a fucking old man.
It's a good link, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going for another one.
Yeah, well, another one. We haven't really talked about anything, have we?
No, we've done two questions.
Okay, all right, okay. This is a completely... I'm just going to throw something wacky out there.
Please do.
People deemed as insane, in quotes. I'm quoting that. Insane people. What do you think about the theory that people who are, like, insane in asylums and stuff...
Yeah.
Are they called asylums? Is that, like, an old-fashioned word?
You could say, like, mental health hospital.
Mental health. That doesn't sound as extreme for what I'm saying. I'm going extreme.
Can't say asylum anymore,
some people
mate.
Think
that's what
like,
creates the stigma.
Some people think, like, they're not the ones that are mad, you know?
Right.
Like, they are understanding the universe on a higher level than us. Yeah. They've, like, actually broken through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're the fucking dummies.
I think that all the time.
You think that? I knew you was going to, like, resonate with
me. I thought that was going to...
I think if you ever get
or you're
close
kid.
To the truth of reality,
well, that's where I was going to take it. Like, there's either their understanding or there's the like the complete horror of understanding. Like, you get so clever and then you start to understand and it breaks your fucking mind. I feel like I'm on that level sometimes. Not like
there was a kid who killed himself. He was like 11 years old. It's probably in there, so I don't know if it's true. But he was so smart. He literally worked out through mathematics that his life was pointless.
Yeah, this is what I think all the time. This is when I get on a reel down.
Mm.
This is what I try and explain. I'm like, can you explain to me why my life is actually worth anything? Can you explain to me? And no one can.
We don't know what life
is. It's not, is it?
What's the point?
And then I can't get out of that. When I get that in my head, I talked about it on episode 10 when we first talked about life and death. I was like, and I actually have people email about the same thing, like, this is something I struggle with. But can you explain to me why my life is worth living? No. No, you can't. So why the fuck am I here? Like, it drives me... This is what drives me insane.
Yeah.
That actually makes me worry about losing my fucking mind.
But on the other side of the coin, I always think that, but then I think that means no one else knows what they're talking about, which makes me feel better, because that means everyone else is full of shit too.
I genuinely have to, like, think of the most nonsense bullshit to distract me to not think like that. I have to think, like, I'm looking forward to that film. That gives me something to look forward to. And it would be, like, that petty to not think about, like...
But what
life ain't worth living.
When you think about how, because I always think about this, how are we here? Like, how is this world here? How are we here? You think about the massive expanding universe and how there's like going to be a million other like planets out there like this. Do you know what I mean? And then how are we here?
See, I think this
is how have we made this stuff, and how have we created jobs, and how have we created money, and how, like. Do you know what I mean?
To brainwash ourselves.
It's a miracle.
In the system.
We've brainwashed ourselves to make life like a normal thing.
But how?
Like,
what is normal?
Yeah. Life isn't normal.
No, it's not.
But this,
the way
me,
we go on about our lives is not normal, in my opinion.
But this is, for me, this is where my faith comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me that foundation.
Yeah.
Because I know why I'm here. I know my meaning. I know I have meaning. I know I have substance. And I've kind of... I guess I've just come to a point where I just think, if people just understood a very basic truth, in that you are the one person who creates your own happiness, you're the one person who is capable of making your life whatever you want it to be, and that's okay. Whatever you want your life to be is okay. It doesn't have to be something that fits a mould.
But you can't always have what you want. That's what I think. Like, what do I want in my life? Well, I want that. Can I have it? No. Why am I alive? That's the route I literally go on every day. Can I have that life? No, you can't. You weren't born into privilege. Can I achieve that on my own? Probably not. No.
But why are you here? Probably not.
Well, yeah, probably not.
You're probably not. But I'm not saying this isn't what I want to do, but I'm talking about, like, people you speak to, and it's like, what do you want to do with your life? I want to be a famous singer. Well, you're not. Your voice sounds like shit. You're not going to be a famous singer.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything else you want to do? Like, no. Like, why are you alive then? Go and kill yourself. That's what I feel like, which is heartless.
Because you have one point in your life, and then you think, right, if I can't get that, what's the point?
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe you need more, like...
Maybe every day is a new chance to find another meaning.
I just feel like I always think it's a miracle that we're even here.
Yeah.
Considering we're a speck in the universe, and here we all are. Do you know what I mean? And
next thing you know... Nominated for a podcast award.
There you go. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So there's point.
But I think you, like, just in Rachel's pregnancy as well, has given me a much bigger perspective and learning about babies and what babies are capable of. I'm like, man, we are really, really, really insanely complex beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even now, like, you can use, there's videos on YouTube of pregnant mums using the torch on their iPhone and pointing it at their belly, and then like a little finger coming out and following the light, because babies can see light from outside, and they're capable of picking up sounds. So the reason they tell you to talk to the baby before it's born is because they recognise your voice.
Yeah.
They recognise, if you've got a dog, they'll recognise you've got a dog, so that means when it's born the dog won't be a problem because it's just used to it all.
Do you talk to the baby?
Yeah, every day.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just, any old bullshit, to be honest.
So you know,
sometimes
you said...
I read to it. It depends.
Oh, wow.
I have so many questions.
It sounds like when you're under the water in the bath.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what it's
questions?
Like. Sorry?
Why am I asking questions?
Yeah, get it to think
about. What's the meaning of life?
Where do you come from? Because the babies are going to know. They're the first ones to know, because it's like they literally came from.
But they can't talk.
But don't you think it's weird that you have no memory until you're like 3-4 years old?
Yeah, apparently, what I heard, it's because it's like too traumatic before then that your brain blocks it. You know, you forget traumatic events, your brain cuts out.
Yeah.
Like, literally being a baby is hell. Because you're like, I can't talk.
Can you imagine not doing
anything? Yeah, can you imagine? But it's like being
completely
being paralysed.
Yeah.
And you can't even talk to whoever you want. And they reckon it's so traumatic being a baby, you don't remember it. That's why you have no memory of it, because your brain just blocks it.
They say for mental development now, never, like, it sounds obvious, but never to leave a crying baby.
Yeah.
Like, apparently loads of people have done it, and they they've worked out now that it has a massive effect on your mental health and how you how you expect
my mum used to literally put me in a pushchair and leave me down the garden.
Yeah, my mum used to do it as well.
I used to think that'd
it's
be
not
okay
for every case, but I think in some cases they found that it means that people like they expect people to like they live very solitary lives and they feel like no one wants to talk to them, no one wants to be friends with them, or sort of like they just expect people to leave them when they need them. Apparently this isn't what I've been doing over the last 2 weeks, just like reading stuff like this. I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. But yeah, coming back to your question though, that's we've gone off on the topic.
What was the question? Oh, well, I was also going to say, with your faith,
yeah,
and you say, well, I feel comfortable in why I'm here and what I'm doing and yeah, what my direction. Do you look at the rest of us like floundering around like, I don't know what to do with my life. Like poor
saps. No, no, no.
Poor I'm thinking that fucking sounds amazing. Saps.
Yeah.
No, because it's not. Well, no, it works for me. Well, no, because I'm fully aware, and I've had people say to me a lot over the years, like, that I believe in a load of bollocks. It's just, I've got, like, an invisible friend in the sky, all that stuff. So I'm fully aware people look at me and probably think I'm insane. And I'm like, yeah, but that's, you're in denial. You're in denial because life is such a horrible, you know, dog-eat-dog world, and you want to separate yourself from that, so you give yourself this false hope. I'm like, well, no. That's not what I've done. I haven't gone out and sought what can I do to give myself a foundation of sanity, because I don't. That's not why I have a faith. I don't have a faith, so I'm sane. That's would be weird, but it. I guess it gives me that. So I don't really have these questions because I know this is kind of. If you believe in the afterlife, this is a temporary state. This is something. You've talked about it in tears as well, like
yeah, for sure.
So
it's what people do, like when they're close to death or they. People who haven't been religious for their whole lives all of a sudden find religion.
Yeah.
Because it's a comfort.
Because it's a panic. Like,
yeah.
See, to me, it's almost more of a comfort that I ain't got to go nowhere else. I'm like, oh, fuck, at least this is it. Fucking
will.
Hell.
You definitely will.
I definitely will.
You definitely will.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Afterlife, big time.
Can I have a beer?
Yeah. Which one would you like?
I love this Harbour okay. Session up here.
What's this one?
Beef, what you having?
I'll know for this one if that's alright.
Of course.
Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Best
thank
guest
you for having
ever.
Me.
Have any other guests brought us beers?
Have they never?
No. They've drunk our beers.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that.
Came okay, down nice.
Thanks.
I've got
cheers everyone.
It's good, isn't it? Clink clink.
We never actually got onto what I was saying. The people were understanding the universe will drive you mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more of a statement than a question.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
I went slightly mad when I took acid and I understood the universe at that point.
Do you feel like you did?
Yeah. And looking back, do you think, yeah, that was probably, you understood it more than...
Absolutely fucking batshit crazy.
Do you feel like...
Yeah, I totally understand.
This isn't really related to that, but do you feel like, to me, the ultimate, like, horror is the idea of losing your sanity. Like, that's the scariest thing. Scarier than like Frankenstein or anything like that, like a monster, a ghost.
This
scarier
is...
than whatever, like losing your mind.
Yeah.
And then also, how would you know whether you've lost it?
Exactly. And then I'm like, have I already lost my mind?
Yeah.
Am I imagining all this?
Mm-hmm.
This like, is one of my questions. Is... What is it that keeps you sane? And I don't think we can answer it two ways. We can answer it, you know, what keeps people sane in general? What do we need to keep our sanity, our happiness? Or we can answer it individually.
It's a social interaction. That's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Isn't it some... We talked about this, didn't we? That if you... That they... Not in all prisons, but in most prisons, they have got rid of... isolation.
Oh, we did talk about that on the one.
Because they found that you...
Fuck you up.
Yeah.
And it does.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you need it. And I think they had... Not in... I mean... America.
I feel like this is one of my issues as well. I spend way too much time on my own. Like a lot of time on my own.
Yeah, makes a massive difference. I feel like I recently did this course and I was at home for like 2 days a week on my own.
Yeah.
And by the end of that day alone, I felt like I could easily have just fallen
into
depression.
But that's me all the time.
Yeah.
Like I...
That makes a massive difference.
I will... Like this weekend, just gone. It was a bank holiday weekend. I spent all... half of Friday, Saturday and Sunday... completely alone.
See, that's
but that's really normal.
Like,
no, but I
said...
actually felt okay this weekend. I felt really good all weekend.
Yeah.
I really enjoy my own company.
But that much do you enjoy your own company? Because people say that, don't they? But then if it's too much of it, what's too much?
I don't know, because I never find it too much.
Really?
Yeah. But then I do like sit around talking to myself.
Yeah.
Like
it's our company.
Yeah.
I find if I can't externalise what's in my head fast enough, then it starts to get backed up and then it just gets too full.
Yeah.
Like I need to talk shit with someone.
I go and do stuff on my own. Like I went and just walked around the shop on my own. But then when I went to the shop, that's the thing though. I sat around on my own. I was fine. I went out and then I felt awful and I had to come home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your job is quite solitary though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I work with my dad.
As in with him? With
yeah,
him,
like we're in the same building all day.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm with
but I guess it's quite a... What I mean is, so you might not be on your own physically, but what you're doing doesn't require... like not teamwork, but it doesn't really require... You're very aware that you could do your job on your own, you can function on your own. And so does that then... Do you feel like that might kind of filter into the other aspects of your life or not?
I don't know. I've always liked being on my own. When I was a kid, I used to play on my own.
Mm.
Other people annoy me.
People are pricks, so why would you want to spend time with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel... No, I get energy when I'm around other people.
Yeah, so do I.
But I get to a point where I'm like, no, I'm done. I need to go home.
Yeah.
I like so much stuff I like doing, though, is just a solitary thing. So I'm just like, oh, like, I just want to do that. Can everyone leave me alone just so I can read this book? Can everyone leave me alone? So like, I love watching films on my own. Like, I don't like watching films with people as much as I like watching them on my own. I like to sit and watch a film. And I will get really... I'm like... So, you know, you guys like know I'm into films like big time. I watched a film the other day on my own. And it was just so much better that I watched it on my own. And I cry in films all the time. I cried in fucking Batman. Film I watched the other day, I was on my own. I cried 5 times. But I didn't care. I was like, this is fucking great.
What film was it?
Manchester by the Sea. That is a fucking depressing film, but it's amazing.
It's cool. What?
A Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, right.
It's the most depressing film. And Becca was like, why did you watch that film? Feeling like you do. And I was like, because it felt so good to like be depressed with someone.
Yeah.
Because it's that like, guy's dealing validation with depression. Yeah. And everything like he was going through, I was like, yeah, man, we're fucking, yeah. Like, it was like I was sitting with him, you know? Like,
that's how
sucks.
I get social interaction, though. Yeah. To externalise what I think, and then someone going, yeah, I think that, and it's just like, ah, that feels so good. It's the best.
See, I can start the day thinking I'm really looking forward to this day by myself, and then it gets to like 3 hours later, and I need to see someone.
Yeah.
It doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Go on.
Wow.
She bought beer, she bought her own questions.
Brilliant guest. Go on.
So how do we know the difference between sanity and insanity? What if what we think is real right now isn't real?
Hmm.
How do we know? Because, so I think about talking to somebody who's, for example, like acutely psychotic, they think that what is in their head is really happening.
Well, you've dealt with people like that.
Yeah.
And do they actually just feel like they're somewhere else? Do they seem like they're somewhere else?
They seem like they're completely not even there. Yeah, completely.
Really?
So then you kind of think to yourself, where are you and what's going on in your head? And then for people who sometimes come out of it, so they'll be on treatment or whatever and then they'll come out of it, they don't remember what happened when they were poorly. So they have no memory of what happened. And also another thing I find really interesting, and I don't know why it happens, but the strength of someone who is like acutely mentally unwell is unbelievable. So like they get this strength from somewhere, and
physical strength.
Oh, wow. Right. And I don't know whether
it's like a superpower.
Sounds like it.
It seems like a superpower, like, yeah. So like either they don't feel pain and so they don't, you know, like we wouldn't be that strong because we feel pain and we're afraid of the pain or whatever. Either they don't feel the pain or they're so afraid of what other people are going to do to them that they find this strength because actually at the end of the day, yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. But that, you get that, don't you? You read stories of like mothers that were able to lift a car to save their kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that.
I guess, is it your mental strength in that your brain is able to shut down the risk involved because the cost vastly outweighs the, you know.
So it's like fight or flight.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So you, so where I was in a car crash a couple of years ago and I can't explain it. It did feel really slow while it was happening. It felt really slow. It was so weird. But it meant I was able to kind of put steps together of what I was going to do. So before I knew it, I was round the driver's side. I was helping my friend out the car, checking she was okay, and she wasn't okay. So sat her down, just like got traffic sorted.
I feel like if I'm in a crisis, someone beefed at me there.
And then when I was in the ambulance and I sat down, and they're like, we're just going to check you over, and he like started pressing against my chest, and I was like, oh God, I was like, that really hurts. And it was all of a sudden my body was like, no, you're in pain, you need to... But it's like, oh, and I was in a lot of pain, and I feel that was my body going... We're not going to focus on this right now because we've got some other stuff to deal with.
Was that well cool after?
I felt amazing, yeah.
I
felt great.
I thought it was fucking awesome.
And do you remember everything that happened?
Yeah, really, really acutely, every
detail. What would you do if they showed you, like, there was a security camera and it showed you and you were, like really fast, like, super fast, you're, like, lifting stuff up, you're like, I don't remember like that.
Man, that's crazy. Even to, like, when I could see what was going to happen and it was, I really wish I could explain it in better words, but I just remember... Like, it slowing down so much that I could see that we were going to hit the curb, and then we hit the curb, and that the car was going to hit the corner, and we were going to spin out a bit. Mm-hmm. And I even remember to the point where I braced myself properly and got my posture right.
To get ready for it.
I was like, if my posture isn't right, this is going to be awful. So just, like, sat there. Like, it was really weird. I remember, everything right down to, like, acute details. But
that is how complex your brain is. So your brain is able to predict what's about to happen and shut everything else down. So you're purely able to focus on.
Why can't it work like that more often? Why can't it, like?
Well, I guess that's a hunter thing, isn't it?
When I don't know what to do, why can't my brain just
say that? That's a hunter thing. If you were faced with, like, a saber-toothed tiger, I don't know, maybe your brain would be able to kind of...
tell you what to do.
But this is why mental health's mental, right?
Yeah.
Mental, it's mental.
It is
Because... it can feel like, if you're suffering from depression or something, it can feel like the saber-toothed tiger you're talking about is life itself. Mm-hmm. So why can't my brain sort that out, saber-toothed tiger out? Why can't it sort itself out and be like, you've got to do this to get away from this saber-tooth?
It's not an emergency at that time.
But it fucking is.
So you've got a combination of, like, adrenaline plus your brain.
What you need to do is get some real adrenaline feeling depressed. Go for a run. They say that. They actually say exercise. Yeah.
So apparently,
but I was like, that's bullshit. I went on AHS and it was like, go for a run.
So I've got a story, right? This guy was really severely depressed, right? And
he went for a run.
He wasn't leaving the house, nothing. And went to his doctor and the doctor said, before we go down like the medication route or anything else, I want you to take a half hour walk every day. By yourself if you like, but go for a half hour walk every day. So obviously it took a little while, but the guy then eventually got up to coming out the house and went for a walk every day and was never on any antidepressants and is now better. So purely because of exercise and getting out. And
my job's quite physical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so much shitter when I'm doing my job.
But that's working. That's not a peaceful walk.
But I used to think of my work as like, my job's okay because it's like keeps me physically fit.
Yeah.
And now... I don't want that.
But your job is your job, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not you time, that's not...
But when I go from work, I'm too knackered to go and play badminton.
Play badminton.
Or go for a walk, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is... I go for a run like twice a week, and every time... even if it's really sunny, beautiful day, you know, even if I get home early, you know, I just... Oh, God, I really don't want to... And then... when you're doing it, you still feel like shit. And you're like, oh, no, I don't. This is awful. Why am I doing this? I could be at home right now. And then when I get home, you do...
when you're going for a run.
What's that?
The kids, like, do you ever get, like, a bunch of kids, like, ooh.
He's going for a run.
Trying to get fit, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going for a run.
He's running to the toilet.
That's sort of thing I was shouting as a kid.
Yeah. Maybe in the 3 years I've been running around.
I saw you said on the show one time some kids laughed at you. When you're out for a run.
Yeah, I think that's because I farted and didn't hear it because I had my headphones in.
What an embarrassment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the motivation, isn't it, to do it. And I always wish I was one of those people who love exercise. There are people who are addicted to exercise. Yeah. I hate exercise.
It's boring as fuck. Yeah. There's nothing to do.
Yeah. Like, I was trying to think, I was trying to Google the other day, like, exercises I could do while sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
That would
None, Charlie.
None. For the podcast on the move.
Well, I did that the other day with James, didn't I?
Every time.
Yeah, no, that was knackering.
I've got two questions
that
I would love to get answers to. Which one do I want to go for first? Let's take it on a different tangent, and I've got one that I want to kind of aim at you, Charlie, a bit.
Okay.
Is there a difference, and if there is, what is it, between sanity or insanity and creativity? Because one person's creativity...
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what made me think about this, Ron?
When people go, you're mad, you are, because you're doing something creative.
No. No, I'll tell you what... no, I'll tell you what made me think of this was when we were talking about Human Centipede the other day, right? No, let me think.
Oh, God.
No, let me think.
No, yeah. Oh, no, that was always in the pub, wasn't it? Yeah. Of an Indian.
We went for a curry, and we're talking about it, and how... What
enjoying
I mean is,
our dinner.
This reminds me.
So...
Well, I'm really fascinated. I really want to hear where this is going.
Okay.
Go on.
Well, let me explain.
Please.
So to one person, the idea of producing that film was really creative and there was a lot of creativity involved.
Yeah.
And there's other films we've talked about which are just, in my head, are utter disgrace and that person should be carted off to the hospital.
Because of their foul? Or because they're rubbish?
It would take, like, I haven't seen it, I'm never going to see it, but a Serbian film.
Yeah, yeah, that's right? What I mean, right? Yeah, a foul, not to, like, what I'm talking is, like, they shouldn't have made this, I was thinking about CIA.
Oh, right. Like,
just a bad shit film.
I mean, no. Quite similar.
Just a shit
yeah,
film.
They're both terrible, yeah.
But you mean, like, film. One that's a disgrace?
Just ones
this
that...
This is it, yeah.
Like, that to someone is a creative, and then you could go
but
to...
Is it to anyone? Like, does anyone think a Serbian film is creative, or does everyone think that person
but
is
even,
locked away?
That's the extreme. You might even go to an art gallery and find something that's supposed to be creative, just foul and offensive, and... So, what is it that makes... I don't know, what is it that makes people create like that, and is that... I don't know.
Are they mad?
I don't know. I don't really know what I'm trying to get at. I just think there's... What makes that okay to some people, mm-hmm. and does that mean they're insane for thinking, yeah, we should make a film about rape?
Well, that's like saying anyone who's against the norm of what the majority of people are thinking or doing, that makes them insane.
Because society says it's wrong.
Yeah, because society says this is sanity, that's not. Yeah. But that's like, you know, just saying earlier in the text, you know, what do you say if you work like a 9-to-5 job, what's it?
What did I say?
Can't remember.
I can read it.
Oh.
Like, is it insane to, like, just work? Yeah, no, but that made me think.
Is it actually insane to work a job in this system and continue to perpetuate the things that we know are wrong,
Yeah, so if... But the majority of people think, like, you know, you work, you do this, you do that. And if you think outside that system, everyone would think you're mad.
Yeah.
And it's only the same thing.
But
if you have a different...
Bad enough.
But you would be like, I'm not insane. You're insane. You're all following this fucking routine. Yeah. So just for having it being in the minority of opinion, does it make you insane? I don't think so.
But I then started thinking, and then went off on another tangent. I was thinking about this article I wrote about some tribes people in the Amazon who these reporters found that they were sacrificing children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Completely normal in their culture, and they did it all the time. That was just expected. Your firstborn was going to be, and you wouldn't even grow attached to it.
That is mental.
Well,
but that's mental because we.
That's
don't
what
do
I'm
it.
Saying.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not, that's
in
not
their,
our culture.
In their world, they aren't aware of anything else that's going on.
Yeah.
In the modern world, are they? So that's all they know.
Yeah, in this country, you'll be locked up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This makes you think of... I was watching Moana the other day.
I was watching a Serbian film.
A little bit different Serbian film. I was watching Moana the other day.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's just a Disney film. It's a musical cartoon Disney film. So it's great.
totally awesome.
It has Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it, so it's doubly great.
Right.
But on their like island life...
Mm.
And I was just watching that with Becca, and I was like, I'm so jealous of that life. Because they don't, and Becca's like, yeah, but they got that. I'm like, yeah, but they don't know any different.
No.
And I said, what I'm so jealous of, I can't even go and have that life, because I know what's
you
out
know,
there.
Yeah.
So I will never be that.
Yeah.
I will never have that freedom and that simplicity. They will just live in their tribe. Everyone learning how to make roofs. Everyone's learning how to cook, grow crops. And they know, and everyone's just doing the job, and they're having a good old time banging some drums.
Yeah.
I would fucking love that life, and I can never have it.
And also, it's like the beach, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, they ruin it because they know.
Yeah, exactly. Because we know. I wish I was born on an island.
I know. Yeah, I think that's all.
And I can't go and live on an island. Becca was like, "Go and live on an island." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's helpful." I can't. How can I? Oh, I'm just going to tell them to try and be like, "All right, guys,
just bring them all down.
Teach me how to build a roof for
What's
you."
What's the point?
Yeah, but
you would be surprised at how many. And I've not met tribes people, but I've been really, 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 like, right in the bush of Africa and met people who, in my opinion, have a better quality of life than me.
Yeah.
So they live in a hut, to go get their water, kill animals to eat, you know, just live by the land, don't have jobs, you know, all this kind of stuff. But they sat me down one evening and just interviewing me about my life, and they were just in total awe.
Mm.
And they're like, wow. They're like, oh,
it's too much though.
No, but they wanted it. You have no idea how bad we've got it here. I'm like,
when I
so everyone thinks
there was a conflict of cultures, yeah, where both of us, I was saying, oh, I wish I didn't have loans to pay off, or
yeah,
like,
but you know what,
you know, I didn't have any bills or anything, and they're thinking, I wish I had money.
The dude I stayed with, the guy I said about, who lived more sort of in the jungle area of Sri Lanka, I stayed with him, and his wife cooked for us and everything. He fucking had it right, because he was totally happy. He didn't have that much money. He was like sleeping on the fucking floor, but he was sitting out there, was having a drink one night, and he was like, I'm lucky. He was like, I'm really lucky.
So he knew that
he was like
lucky.
Look where I live. Look at this. Mm. Look at this life. He's like, and when I'm explaining what it's like for us, and he was like, I wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
He didn't think my life's had it good.
No.
And then since then, I've been on a downhill spiral. No.
I would.
But he was just like, oh, I can't believe like you don't have... It was like real simple stuff. I'd be like, yeah, we don't really get like fresh papaya grown in England. And he'd be like, oh, so much stuff we don't have.
But
I was like, that sort of thing was enough to make him so happy.
But if you allow your life to be governed by happiness from inanimate objects or from a system, then you're always going to be unhappy. I think where do you get your happiness from? If you get
society we live in perpetuates the idea that those are things to strive for.
Yeah,
yeah, because it distracts
so
us.
So almost the people who strive for
it does,
for
but
it,
I don't accept
know
that. So I just choose to live a different
like
way.
I used to buy shit, and then I used to put the association. I was like, fuck, and stop buying it. But I wasn't like, I didn't know about it. I just thought that that's how the life
like works. Brainwashed.
But this is what I'm trying to do. Yeah. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be free.
Yeah,
But it's so hard to break out and be free.
Yeah, but then once you've done it, you'll be there. Do you know what I mean?
But
it is hard, but
I'll be where? Because I'm like halfway there, and I'm like, where? I'm halfway where? And that's, do you know what I mean? Like, what? Why? Where? Where am I heading towards? I basically sold my whole life, and now I'm like, now I've got nothing.
But then you've got,
and that's, I'm not stuck there. I'm like, oh right, what was the next step?
Yeah.
But with less to depend on, you're going to be in a better situation, surely. Do you know what I mean?
I don't. That's what I thought. And then when I got there, I was like, now what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it takes a lot of a lot of balls to do it, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have to give up a lot of comforts to get that life.
Mm.
Like, you move to India and live off a tuppence and live nicely, but, you know, would you want to move to India? Would you want to do this? Would you want to test, like... There's more sacrifices along the road, but it's which ones you want and which ones you don't. You can't have the cake and eat it. You can't have modern society plus a bit of freedom. You have to have one or the other.
Yeah.
And we live in a... We've lived our whole lives in this society. It'd be so hard to take ourselves out.
The problem I have now is, like, do I live with nothing and work towards being free somewhere else?
Mm.
Or do I work towards making my life better? No, like, it's like, yeah, it's what I'm trying to say to Becca at the moment is, like, I would love to do a different job. Okay, we have to study to do it then. Okay, but if I study to do a different job, then I can't get away and do anything because I'm stuck here studying. And then I'm learned to do a job to be in England to do that job. So then it's like, but the whole thing of selling everything is like, I wanted to get away.
Yeah. But do you feel like the genie's out of the bottle, you know? You can't just go back to, oh, yeah, I'll get a new job and go back to the, plug myself back in, you know? If you've already... realised that it's all a facade.
But the thing is, if I went somewhere else,
it's just never going to be another problem.
If I went somewhere else, all I'm going to do is like real menial work, because it's like I'm a stranger in a strange land. Go and clean these bogs.
Yeah.
And is that enough for me? I'm all like, but I'm living somewhere I want to be, and which is what I thought I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just the ideal of living somewhere I want to live. How amazing would that feel? I've never felt that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Every day, like I said to you, every day I would come out of my place and be like, I love this place. I love this shit. Like, create like a fucking old film. Or do I actually want to be doing something in my life every day that I want to be doing? What's the balance?
So you're choosing between a job that you love and a life that you
love. Or a life that you love.
Yeah. I feel like you can't have both.
You can't.
No.
You can't. So I'm either living somewhere I want to live, but my days are miserable, or I'm fulfilled in what I do, but I don't really like where I live.
I would say the second. Sounds better. You sounded happier when you said
But then I'm stuck in this shithole. I fucking hate England. I really don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to... I genuinely feel like I've got both.
Mm.
I love my job and I'm happy with my life.
Yeah.
It's all subjective, though, isn't it?
Which makes me sound like I'm wanker.
Yeah, it does.
Oh. But I think it's because I don't...
Yeah.
I love that, man. You got it. Everything sorted out.
Yeah, but that's not what I look... But that's because I don't... Where I live doesn't really... I guess because... So when I went travelling, people were always saying, "Where was the best place?" I'm like, "Well, they're all so different."
Did you say home? On...
No.
Did you say? I was gonna punch. When I got home, oh fuck off! Come on, really?
No. I just think you become like. So when I was in New Zealand, the natives were so. You know, they found it. They're like, you know, yeah, this is great where we live, but there's other amazing places. You know, in my head, I was like, if I hated my family, I'd live here.
Mm.
I would just sell everything and move there and do anything. But then I just realised, well, that's not. But then you're always going to bump into something. You would get used to it. It's like, I know this sounds really simplistic, but it's like when you buy a new PlayStation game. Mm. When you buy a new PlayStation game or something like that, or like a CD. You or like when you're younger, you feel like not a CD, but
back in the 90s.
CD. How old is that? How old is
I
that?
I never need any more songs.
I just get one record.
No, you mean like when you get
when
like
you
a
get
new
a new game.
Game,
you're like, this is the best game I've ever.
I never
have.
Need another. I'm telling now. If I'm wrong, smite me down. I never need another video game in my life. Said it. Done.
And then you play for a few hours and you're like...
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, you're like...
So you always want something more, don't you?
Yeah, and so you would get used to it. Yeah. So if I moved to New Zealand, I think I just accepted... Well, even if I did live somewhere like that, it's always going to have its down. It's always going to have its downfalls. It's always going to have something I'm going to hate. Always.
So even if you moved to an island where life was amazing, yeah, and everything was perfect, then in like a year, you'd be thinking...
Life
isn't
perfect.
Ozzy, being unrealistic, I don't want to live on an island.
No, but you.
I did 5 minutes.
I would actually.
I'm not. Yeah. Let me just make something really clear. I'm not like 100. If I was going to say, am I 100% happy? No, of course I'm not. I know that really did make me sound really like.
Is there
wanker,
such a state though?
But
like people say, happiness is real. Says who? I've never met anyone that's like super happy, apart from like monks. They just do nothing, which is great for them. But I can't meditate forever.
It's like when you get a new computer game, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. Or a new CD. You know? Get that new record going. Whoa.
I think happiness can be like the trick of the mind.
I still
think
buy CDs.
What you're doing, maybe.
I like CDs.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I've never been happy. Truly.
Tis, do you still buy CDs?
Do I still buy CDs?
Yeah.
I don't buy anything. I don't buy any media.
I actually did buy a CD.
I still buy CDs. Yeah. That's what I'm laughing at.
What you were saying about
I like CDs. I like listening to a record.
Yeah. Record? A CD?
Get my cassette player out.
No, I genuinely miss that type of output of musicians.
Do you remember like tape cassettes and you'd record the top 10 on a Sunday?
Yeah.
You'd have to press play and record at the same time.
The art
you got
of
it
like
a bit
making
wrong, the DJ
album.
Started speaking, you're like, oh, shit.
Like a minute of the DJ talking.
The art of making a good album is getting lost. There's so many good albums which are like, this is an amazing album. Like the way they put the album together, I'm like, this is a fucking journey.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking listen, kids. You'll never know.
Buy this CD.
You will never know what it was like.
You say that, but vinyl is having a massive resurgence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bunch and bunch of old duffers.
Yeah, because
people miss it.
But you look at what's in the charts now. Like me and Rachel were talking about this a few weeks ago. She's like, I can't believe how many records Ed Sheeran's got in the top 20. I'm like, I can, because there's nothing else.
Mm.
He has no competition. He's the only person that's creating his own music, writing his own music.
I don't know.
You know
that.
He's collaborating. No,
being recognised for doing it. There's a lot of people.
No, but it. No, do you know what I mean? Like, there's no one. What is his competition?
No one makes middle of the road shot like Ed Sheeran, basically.
Yeah, I'm not saying Ed Sheeran's good. I'm not like a fan or anything. But you know what? There are not many people like Bob says. There's not many people that put a lot of effort. And a lot of just like a lot of their life goes into creating something.
Oh, I think a lot of people are trying.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying, but
there's a lot of artists who do it.
Yeah. They're trying, but the music industry don't want them
because they want generic stuff.
Yeah. They want single tracks that they can keep putting out of that.
And actually, people forget about the.
Like, if you lived in the time of Van Gogh, you'd never know that he was a big artist because he died penniless.
Yeah.
This, by the way, topic this week's topic: sanity.
Yeah.
And the topic is insanity. Back to the music industry and where it's going.
We're just showing our age.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean. Ed Sheeran does put out mediocre shit.
I didn't say I liked Ed Sheeran's stuff. I didn't even say.
I said that you said it was mediocre shit, and I agree with you.
I didn't say anything about adrenaline. I just said there's
you
not...
did.
Ed, if you're listening, Beef is very sorry.
He's a big fan.
But it's true. Really, you've got to really
fan.
Step up your game, mate.
Not
would you
fan.
Would you ever have had adrenaline on the show, though?
No, I wouldn't have him.
I would.
He's a fucking arsehole. No, I'm joking. He's probably a nice guy. But he sold his soul, and he's basically the devil. But we're never in the show.
He is Antichrist.
Yeah, he's the Antichrist.
No, he wasn't on your list last week.
No, he's not the
I think art's very sacred. Very sacred to me, anyway. So I'm
yeah,
until next time.
It's probably not being recognised.
Make me go insane.
Right, Tess, you got a question?
No, I'm out of questions.
I have some more.
Are people insane? Is everyone insane? Is this whole society insane?
I've got a question for Charlie.
Ooh.
This is something really interesting. I don't really know much about insanity at all. So does, with your line of work, does sanity work on like a spectrum?
Yeah, definitely.
So do you get people where you're like, we ain't helping them. There's nothing we can do for that.
It's really hard because also a lot of the time we find that if somebody is going through mental health problems and they're really severely poorly, okay, they'll have treatment and then they'll get better and then they'll feel better, so then they stop taking the treatment.
Right.
So it's literally like a vicious circle.
Okay, right.
So there are definitely different, like, levels of it. So, but then again, who's to say what's worse? Do you know what I mean? Who's to say what level is worse? Because we don't really know what's happening to that person. Yeah, exactly.
And each case is probably their own personal hell.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
When you first started working in the mental health facility, is that what it's called?
Not where I am at the moment.
No, the other place.
When I was a student,
yeah. So when you first started going there, was it like a massive, like when you first went in that first day?
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also because, so I'm an adult nurse.
Yeah.
So when you train to be a nurse, you have to do different placements all in different kind of fields of nursing. So my very first placement as a student nurse was this all-male psychiatric hospital.
Wow.
And I remember saying to my mentor after,
in at,
like,
the deep end.
Yeah, literally. I remember saying to my mentor, is this actually what nursing is? Because I don't ever want to do it. it was terrifying. And you had all sorts of people there and going through all sorts of different things as well. So, like, for example, one time I was stood in an office, in the nurse's office, which was on the ward, and the phone was ringing, so I went into the office to answer the phone, and this little old man was by the door. So I went over, I finished on the phone, went over to speak to him, and he just punched me in the chest, and I fell on the floor. I remember thinking, what has just happened that made him do that? But it turns out that he was so paranoid that he thought I was trying to hurt him, or... So, yeah, so lots of weird things happened, but... And that's why I'm not a psychiatric nurse, because I don't think I could do it.
Okay.
How long
so
did you spend there?
So 10 weeks.
Right.
So I was there for 10 weeks. And
that's quite a while.
Yeah. And like I say, because I'm not a psychiatric nurse, I think it felt like a long time as well.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? That's not the field.
I feel like 10 weeks in a place like that, I feel like I'd work there for about a year.
Yeah.
Well, people have different patients for different things, don't they? So there are probably people who love that kind of stuff because I personally think you have... So my mum used to work on a dementia ward,
mm-hmm.
and I kept saying, I could not do that.
Yeah, it's tough.
No way. But she loved it. But and then she would say the same to me. She's like, I couldn't work in school. I couldn't work with teenagers. That's awful.
Yeah.
So, but... Sorry?
Yeah.
Everyone's got their tipple.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But I think that is something that interests me. I think it's not... Yeah, I guess it's not really like a spectrum, like different levels, but it...
But there's different kind of...
The brain's so complex... that there are going to be things that are so alien to us
mm-hmm.
that seem scary.
Yeah.
Someone with... Sorry, this makes it sound bad. Someone with a little bit of anxiety compared to something completely... Because anxiety is quite normal, but something that we're not used to.
Mm-hmm. It's common, a common problem.
Yeah. So I used to work with a lad who was non-verbal, or he was echolalic. So if you'd spoke to him... he would repeat stuff back to you and he'd understand and his brain would process what you'd said to him. But there were times where he couldn't, I guess like a baby, he couldn't physically tell me what was wrong. So he would just start like screaming and like hitting himself in frustration. And if that happened on a bus, people would be quite petrified.
Yeah.
Until they saw me sat next to him trying to soothe him, trying to like talk to him and stuff like that. then people are like, oh, okay, it's obviously okay. But it,
because if you were unable to express how you were feeling, so if any one of us lost all like ability to communicate anything we felt,
you'd have to do something physical to get someone's attention.
We'd be the same,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah, okay. I thought it was interesting because I thought there must be stuff that.
And there's also there's a kind of with regards to like mental health, some people are literally classed as untreatable.
Mm. That's
no
what I mean.
Treatment, yeah.
Right.
So,
and do they have?
So what do you do with someone like that?
Yeah,
there's nothing you can.
They
do.
They just spend their whole life living there.
Yeah. So for example, if you think about like psychopathy, right? So someone's a diagnosed psychopath. There is no treatment for that person that will help that person, that will change how that person, how their brain works, how they think.
Yeah. So the best thing to do is just care for them and
as best you can, I guess. Yeah.
Like try to do as much as you can to. Yeah,
they had some people in there that were like, they're like real psychopaths or whatever, real high spectrum people.
Yeah,
but like they just had like no visitors as well.
Yeah, like, yeah, because that's another thing. I think it kind of pushes a lot of people away.
Yeah, like what can I talk to him about?
Mm.
Then we spoke about it in the pod, but the psychopathy list. I can't remember who did the list. You might know. So the traits list is the only way.
Yeah,
to
we talked about it on Beef Serial Killers episode, I think.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And so there's loads of similarities between psychopaths and sociopaths. So it's a really similar thing.
Mm.
But generally, you find that a lot of people who are like high up executives and bank managers, and do you know what I mean? People high up jobs, they generally have a lot of sociopathic.
There's quite a lot of. So the pastor of our church used to work for Lloyd's in the city. He had like a really high power job.
Lloyd's TSB.
yes.
For long.
but he got, like, in his career, he got to where he got to because he was just cutthroat businessman.
Ruthless, yeah.
And you notice some aspects. Like, he's a very, very caring bloke, but there are some aspects of his personality where you can see over years he would have had to have shut off. Like, to get to where he got to, might have had to spend a little bit less time with his family than other people. And so it's really clear, he's extremely caring, lovely bloke, but you can see those traits where he probably would have had to make decisions like that over the course of his career to get to where he got to. But I guess there's a very kind of grey area where it then goes another step and people are not able to relate at all, and so choose to always have that.
I guess it's like, you know, okay, so yeah, the person you're talking about, he had to do that for his job, but did it bother him that he was having to do it? And there's a difference between people who
don't care,
are ruthless and they don't care, and then people who
your environment,
this is really horrible
and
this is my job and I've got to do it.
But I think it really does come to culture, environment, your surroundings. Like me and Rach were watching Lothario this morning in Johannesburg. Watch it, it's really good. But they were he was talking to a guy who was just very openly talking about how he's a criminal, and to get what he wants, he puts babies in microwaves and stuff like that. He'll quite happily slit throats for people, like, just tell me where your stuff is or I'm kidding. Like, no emotion, just that's what he has to do, or that's what he feels he has to do.
But if you're doing something like that, then you haven't, you're
there,
not
there's,
sane.
There's
you're not
something,
sane.
No, that is not sane, is it? Is it?
No,
it's like, not.
Is it? Is that insane, Charlie? Yeah. So
that's like a psychopath because there is no emotion there. There's no remorse. There's no.
So the people that are air quote untreatable, is it normally one recognisable thing, or is it a whole
there's
host
traits.
Of different things?
Yeah, there's traits, I guess. So generally,
how does that start? Because it can't just be. No one's born insane, are they?
Wow.
Or are they?
Oh, wow.
I never even thought about that.
So,
an insane baby.
So psychopathic people, right? This is an opinion and no one ever knows, but I personally think that they are born that way. I think that sometimes the environment can contribute to it, but I genuinely think that, and you can kind of tell, you know, the kids who dissect their pets, do you know what I mean? Do that weird stuff when they're younger and...
Yeah.
They're always a little bit not affectionate and they're difficult to be close to. And
crazy baby.
They've been nurtured. Yeah. But do you know what I mean?
You know?
Like, there must be...
And apparently, I don't know what study it was now, but apparently they studied the so a psychopath brain and a non-psychopath brain, and there's differences. So there's marked differences between a psychopath and someone who's not psychopathic. So there's actually really differences in their brain.
I heard something about, didn't they find, like, it's so interesting, the different things they find in people's brains, mm-hmm. that make them think different things to each other.
Yeah.
Because they found something in people's brains which identifies whether they have a faith or not.
Really?
In the last year, they called it like the God gene or something. And people who had a faith had this in them, and people who didn't.
So what about the people who...
Or is it that they had it, or is it that... When they had a faith, it like...
A developed. No, I think it was like people more likely to have a faith or turn to faith in their life would have this certain gene in them. And it was like, obviously it was a more likely thing because it's not 100% of people had this, 100% of people didn't. But yeah. I suppose it was called like the God gene or something. I heard about it the other day. I was going to talk about it on the pod last week, but I forgot. It was that day that I heard about it.
All right, no.
But it was like within like the last year or something. I just found that really fascinating.
Yeah, that is.
That sort of thing like blows my mind.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's how your brain develops, isn't it? So you, if people have a faith and they feel that that gives them security and safety and friends and happiness, then your brain will develop.
But you could say that either way. You could say the people who didn't have a faith were lacking in a gene that had like it gave them like a sense of loss.
You could do, but you could equally say that people who don't have a faith don't have anything to worry about, so they have happiness and security because they're secure that they know that. Like you might get people who. Don't like having a faith would be more of a burden.
Yeah, it can work either way, but yeah, it's just interesting. There's like there are marked differences in the way people think about things.
Yeah,
in the way we're made. That's why I find it crazy when people are like, you know, you think a different way to me, you're wrong. It's like it's all part of our genealogy.
We change completely after 7 years genetically.
7 year age.
Every 7 years we change. 7 year age. Is that true?
I don't know.
What, the 7 years?
Every 7 years.
I always say it, and no one ever said no.
Every 7 years.
Apparently.
Every
molecule in your body dies and reforms.
Oh, right.
Oh, I see.
Like a brain, that like triggers broom, but like, you know.
Different. I know that.
Triggers broom.
Yeah, because he's like, same broom, but it's five different handles.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Brushes. Such a tenuous
so
thing.
So you're not really the same. There's you're like not really tits.
90% of our audience are not going to know who triggers.
No. Americans do not know what anyone's nose is.
Physically, you're not. They better do.
They don't.
They've got to.
What, no, of course they don't. The only. Coming back to Triggers Broom.
Coming back to Trigger's Broom.
Coming back to Trigger's
Broom.
Coming
back to an obscure reference.
Yeah.
That I was going to cut.
Always,
I can't.
Always on this show. I heard that you, if you've had a friendship
if
for over 7 years...
If you've had a broom
years,
and you've changed the head.
If you've had a friend for over 7 years, they'll be your friend for life.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But how? Why do they say then if you've been with someone 7 years, you have the 7 year itch? That's like the opposite. Nice. If you, after 7 years, you start getting a bit itchy. And if
sex
you,
isn't
but then
spices,
that's the point, isn't
it?
That's the point, isn't it? If you break through that itchy period of 7 years,
you
then you'd probably be together. Probably.
But then why do people break up at like 20 years?
Because they never acted on it when they got that little itch at seven. And they spent 13 more years stewing on it.
Itching.
And is that... And
just constantly
is that
itching.
How long you've been together... As in, like, from sort of dating, is it seven years?
It doesn't just kick in when you get married. That's what you're getting at.
Well, no.
Is it like 7 year anniversary?
Because we've been married. No, because we'll have been married 6 years.
How long have you been together for in total? Because it's in total, right?
Nearly 10.
Yeah, it's just
there
over 10
you go.
You'd be fine.
Probably Rachel. Rachel probably got to 7 years and, like, well, this is my lot.
Well, I'm pregnant now. This is it.
Three years.
There's your itch. Take that itch.
I've got a really interesting fact actually about the brain when you hit your early 20s.
Go on.
So do you know how...
I'm in my early 20s.
Yeah, have you got anything for your early
30s?
Perfect. Do you know when you're younger, when you're a teenager, you don't ever worry about the consequences of things. You feel like you're living life to the full and you're doing crazy shit and you're
Every day.
You know what I mean? So, some people are lucky, but other people. So, I think it's called the prefrontal cortex, and it's not developed yet until you hit your early 20s, and then it develops, and that's when you start worrying about, oh, but if I do that, the consequence will be this. Or,
oh, right.
So that's why.
And I think I've got that. Sort of
yeah,
25.
Consequence brain.
I think I've got that about 25. How old am I now? 28.
You turned 28 last week.
26, 25. I reckon I got that.
Yeah.
Some sort.
Yeah, you started to get boring about 2 years ago.
I mean, Tiss is well boring.
So aggressive.
2 years ago.
If Tiss is boring, then what way?
No, no. Oh, I've always been boring. I'm boring and old.
I was going to say, I thought yours hadn't developed, which is great.
Yeah,
I would
no,
have loved
I wish.
Mine had developed.
No, too much.
Do you feel like this has been a real rambly all over the place episode?
No, not at all.
Like every other episode.
No. No, we've actually...
That's what we got nominated for.
Yeah,
just wait for the comments.
This is what we're getting on there for. I hope, hopefully, Pete, anyone who's...
anyone with mental health issues will be totally empowered by this.
Yeah, hopefully they will, because we're being light-hearted about it, but we're not talking down about it. Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, I think I'm done. Do you think you're sane?
Yeah.
Do you think this is all really happening, or do you think... And also, how do you know... So, like, I was thinking about it, like, talking about it the other day with someone, and... Talking about dreams, right? When you're having a dream, it can be something completely random, completely bizarre, but it makes sense in that dream and you don't question it.
Mm, yeah.
So is that what insanity is like?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. But yeah, that's right. Well, it's only weird like, when you wake up.
So you start off in this room and then all of a sudden you're in that room and you're talking to this random person who's been dead for 10 years, or do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Well, even if it's something almost normal. So like two nights ago I had a dream that Rachel gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, you know how dreams flit around from bit to bit? Well, it was like she had the baby and then we were in the car driving home.
Yeah.
And then turned around and I was like, oh, awesome. And then we got like halfway down the road. My dream went on for ages with nothing. We were not talking to each other. Rachel was like really tired. And I was like, oh, is it a boy or a girl? And Rachel's like, oh, it's a boy. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. And then I woke up like, that would never happen.
No. That is, what is it, by the way?
Utterly mental. Yeah.
Do you know, my cousin told me, when I was recording that London episode of him a couple of weeks ago, apparently my granddad told him that one of our ancestors was like the village idiot.
Really?
Yeah, you know, the proper like village idiot. And
really?
You had a village idiot. That's my heritage.
In your family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad like that doesn't exist anymore, because I would so be in the running.
Well,
I'd be nominated.
It does. Village, they're on social media, aren't they?
Yeah. But how mental is that? Yeah. Bona fide village idiot.
So what was the village idiot? What comes with that deal?
I don't know.
Free food? You like the
are you like just like?
Are you allowed to literally do anything? If you were the village idiot, could you just get your penis out and be like, right, shake it around at people that walk past, and like people are like, oh, it's the village idiot, and you'd be like, in your head, you're like, oh, I think I'm getting away with some really interesting stuff here.
Shall I ring him and ask him?
Yeah.
What, the village idiot?
Well, you know when you said I was the village idiot?
Your granddad or your cousin?
No, my cousin.
Yeah. I think we actually got through all my questions.
Oh, good.
It's good. One of mine was, if you're locked up, are there cases that are so beyond help?
Yes.
The answer to that. What keeps people sane? Is there a common theme? How do we define... Oh, in brackets at the end. Where is the line between insanity and creativity? Brackets, Serbian film.
Just to remind yourself.
Oh, it's not...
Oh, spoon.
Sorry, I can't ask him.
If you're the village idiot, email in.
Can you let us know?
Tell us what it's about.
Should we start wrapping up?
I feel like we stuck to...
Yeah?
It doesn't... Yeah. We went off on a few tangents, but...
I feel like we answered all the questions.
A few tangents. Yeah, I mean...
No, we did.
Okay, all right, okay. I'm going to start wrapping up then. Unless, Tiz, you want to say anything else? But now you're back.
Not to flog a dead horse again.
Yeah.
But what about like psilocybin and MDMA treatment that's coming through? What about that?
This was like an old fashioned thing. They used to marriage counselling used to be they used to give them MDMA.
Really?
Because they would be so open then about how they're feeling.
They would.
They used
to
give it in marriage counselling.
Oh wow!
They're finding that PTSD is actually becoming semi-treatable in veterans using MDMA treatment.
Ah.
Where they can relive the trauma and bury the hatchet and move on.
Because it opens people up, doesn't it?
So what do I think about it?
As well.
So hashtag beef takes acid.
Yeah. MDMA. Let's get some MDMA.
I'm not doing that.
Just open up. That is true.
I'm not doing that.
It's been fun. Been ages since we did the discussion.
Yeah, it's been good.
I really like doing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've loved it.
Thanks for coming along, Charlie.
Thank you for having me.
We finally got you on the show.
I won't
It's well worth the wait.
Good.
And the beer was great as well. It helps. Yeah.
So if you want to find us online, I'm not going to do all the long outro stuff, because all you need to do is go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com.
It's all that.
You can struggle with that website, though. Like,
why?
If you went to me, like, where are we going to find it? I'd be like, Google us.
it's just .com, yeah.
I Google it.
And if you go on that, you can find our Twitter, you can find our Facebook, you can contact us, you can find the blog post for the episodes.
Yeah.
You can do any of that stuff, can't you?
You can donate.
You can donate, you can do a one-off donation, or if you want to do a monthly payment subscription to check us a tip, you can now go to patreon.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable. And people who didn't really know what Patreon was, because I know some people didn't really know what was banging on about last week, basically, it's what I just said. You can pay a monthly dollar, from a dollar upwards, whatever you want, a month. And if we it can go towards getting some new sound equipment, because I think we could be getting some new stuff soon or looking into it with some more money. And maybe we can start going, do a check-in extra episode in.
Yeah,
hashtag
and...
Hashtag bring back
said how to sad people. Let's get this donation going.
Yeah, if you've got a spare dollar a month or any more, we can keep going. And it'll keep being free for everyone. We're not going to lock episodes behind people who are donating. Don't want to do that.
What are we setting the bar for the acid, though?
For the
acid.
If it's me taking it, I get to decide.
If we get to like a grand a month.
No.
If we get to like 10 million a month, I'll do it.
10 million a month?
Yeah. The most profitable podcast of all time.
The mandate
time.
Is set. Get that fucking donation code. 1 month, 10 million. 10 million people, 1 month.
We've got one more episode until the Pod Awards, have we? Or is this the one?
No, we'll have one more, but it might not go out.
Yeah, I've got to do it.
Because this will go out next Tuesday. This goes out next Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, this will be the one. This will be the last one. So by next episode, you'll have known if we won or not. So when this goes out, it'll be like the awards in 4 days' time.
So this is us, our most modest.
Yeah. next week's episode, we're either going to be like, fucking well, like big time in, or we're not going to mention the awards.
I'm going to mention it if we don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't mention it if we do.
Okay. Well, we're moving to the opposite, so people are going to know either way.
Let's be honest, it's a good thing. It's great. I'm really to be nominated is very exciting.
It's flattering. Yeah.
As we keep banging on about.
It does mean. It means a lot.
Because the people who say, like, oh, that's the best podcast. Who says who? Like,
says the people that pay attention to podcasts.
I know someone who told me they like our podcast. That's enough.
Just to be liked.
We're validating this award.
The messages and contact I get from listeners is the biggest reward.
Yeah, exactly. No, I need awards.
And that's not me being bullshitty. That's the best thing ever.
I need awards and money.
Listener of the week this week. I thought we'd chuck it to like a real old, long-time listener.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was going to give it to Sian.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was talking to her this week.
Right.
She's got a blog.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought some of our listeners might want to visit this blog.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was going to do a thing as a follow-up to our like serial killers episode. I was doing this behind you guys' back to surprise you.
Oh, that sounds really horrible.
Something got back.
Sleep with your wife.
To surprise you.
I was going to try and contact someone on death row and get pen palling with them
and talk about
it on the show. But when I started looking up their crimes, it made me feel really queasy and I was like, I don't want to talk to this person. Yeah. But that's what Sian's blog is all about. She's in contact with four different people on death row and she publishes all her letters on her blog. So if you're interested in that, you can go to deathrowletters.wordpress.com.
I'm definitely going to check those out because I wouldn't do it myself, but I'm interested.
Yeah, that's Sian's blog. It's really interesting. She's in contact with people from Arizona, Florida, San Quentin, and Texas. So we're not doing it on the show because I got queasy. And I was getting information from her about it because I know she had the blog. But yeah, I'm not doing it for the show. But if you are interested in that sort of thing, she's got some really cool stuff on the blog. So I thought, listen to the week, give her blog a shout out. And send people there. And I'll put a link to that on our page as well. So there you go. Charlie, before we go, tell us about the full moon.
Oh, yeah. So,
can't wait.
This is shit just for Tick. So he's disappointed.
I bet it's like,
how horrible is that? I'm hoping my friend is going to be disappointed.
No, you're a monster.
When I was a student on the psychiatric ward, and one of the nurses said to me, so obviously you'd have to do night shifts and stuff when you're there, so I'll just let you know. When there's a full moon, things get a bit mad here. I was like, oh, okay. I kind of laughed it off, didn't think anything of it.
Did she be like, it's a little bit insane.
Brain. A little bit crazy.
You think it's crazy now.
Just you wait. Oh.
So there were some patients on the ward who were kind of completely non-compos mentis. They'd be sitting there, you know, not communicating at all and sleeping most of the day, that kind of thing. So the full moon happened and I was on the night shift and I can't even explain it, but all these patients who would usually every single other day of the year be sat sleeping or not doing anything and not communicating, nothing. They were literally running around the ward, eyes wide open, like talking. You couldn't make sense of what they were saying. It was so weird. And I spoke to my stepdad's psychiatric nurse also. And I spoke to him about it, and he said, actually, yeah, that's something that is quite recognised when no one knows why. I don't know why.
That's really creepy, isn't it?
Wow,
but the
cool.
full moon does something
that's creepy,
to people
isn't it?
With psychiatric
ruffle
problems. Wow. Yeah,
can't breathe.
I heard from the security guard at the Top Man factory when I was doing the refit. They said the night shifts on a full moon.
Top Man factory.
You're like,
factory.
The Top Man factory. Like the
factory.
Picking, it's a picking
I was trying
warehouse.
To work out what it was. Top Man factory. What is it?
So they manufacture Top Mans. The picking warehouse. The security guard said all the staff start acting really weird on a night shift, full moon night shift.
Yeah. Who did?
Weird shit goes down. The security guard. The
yeah.
security
well, when Nikki did my astrology in the tarot, she said about people behaving strangely on full moons full and stuff moon. And it all being to do with astrology stuff.
Episode,
I could do your tarot cards. I read tarot cards.
We've done a tarot on the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been here a year ago,
yeah.
Charlie.
Then that was one of our, that was like our first experimental episode. It was like number 14. Oh, if I'm right on that.
I'm going to say 18.
Yeah, oh. That was fun though. Okay, well, thanks. So are we done?
Yeah.
Until
done.
Next time, see you next week. You'd be insane to miss it.
Oh.
You'd have mental health issues if you missed it.
If it's a full moon, you're going mad. 14, tarot.
Oh!
Thanks, Simon. Good guess.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.2.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.